And here it is. It's Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I'm Joe Rex Road. Normally, I'm sitting here quietly while Robbie Stanley introduces the show. He's on microphone one. I'm on microphone two. But today, I'm on microphone one. Robbie, home with the baby. It's a daddy-daughter day for Robbie. And Paul Kuharski is in for Robbie. And just sneeze. Bless you to start the show.
Thank you.
Bless you in general. Bless you, Kuharski, for being here so early. And letting me use the double headphones.
Well, you're so whiny about it. I mean, if I didn't give them to you, I would have listened to you bitch about them the whole show. So I figured I'd take one for the team.
You know,
team player.
I just had good friend Kyle Tucker. He's got a couple of first graders, and he just texted me yesterday. He's like, "How come you guys are always saying that word you just said, or like these, you know, words that are?" He's like, "My kids wrote." He's like, "Daddy, we can't say those words." He's like, "Listen to us on the radio. I'm trying to say that less." And you come right out with that word.
Should I be concerned with that word? If you want me to be concerned with that word, I can be. But well, it's predominantly an adult
I do it a lot.
Program, and I'm an adult.
Well, you are. Kids do listen, so I apologize if you're out there with kids right now. Although
school's over.
School's kind of over, and also it's 6 a.m., so that's probably a decent time to do it. Yeah, like in the 7-ish hour during school times, I'm going to try to say it less. And bless Nick Kieser for being here, because in 2 days, Nick Kieser gets married, and here he is. Plugging away. He printed out, you know, my little things. Robbie just does this by, you know, the stuff he has to read. He just does this like off his phone or something, but I have to have the printed copy. So
Nicholas, in this instance, I think you speaking would be good. Why are you here with your wedding pending?
Because it's early in the morning and I can still work.
Interesting.
How are things on track? You've got everything all sealed and...
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Everything's
the haze in the barn.
Sound
the haze in the
nervous.
Barn. Are you nervous? Is it starting
to
hit you?
Incredibly nervous.
You think so?
Oh yeah.
No, I'm really not. I honestly have had a good time planning this week. It's been a good occasion to see family. We just visited with some that are from California last night, so that was fun. We had a good dinner. We had a surf and turf kind of family feast last night at my dad's house.
Thanks.
So who
funded that project?
My stepmother is a really good cook, and she invited everybody over. So there you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
So does this mean? So this is okay. So last
Joe week, appreciates the invite.
Thursday,
that.
Friday. Yeah. Thursday, Friday. So we're gonna go three straight, like sort of like rehearsal dinners in a row, kind of thing, like special dinners.
No. Last night was just a family dinner.
Gotcha.
So okay. Tonight is the rehearsal dinner.
Okay. Rehearsal dinner Friday, then a day break, then the wedding.
Mm-hmm. Well, because tomorrow night he's having a gigantic bachelor party.
You
already
had
the invite to that.
You having another
this
bachelor
is a
party?
Secondary no. bachelor party.
I wish.
Bachelor party for old guys? Old guys take out for the bachelor party?
Wants to be good and hungover for the wedding.
Yeah.
Looking his best.
People do it sometimes.
Congratulations. You
know, yeah, we did this the other day, but I will revive this wedding advice. Welcome on the text line. We had, you know, boot flask was a good piece of advice from Keith the other day, but if anybody else has anything that you really feel good about, not just
boot
general
flask,
stuff.
Come on. Make it to your reception without having a drink.
Well, I mean, I was thinking just like in life in general. I guess it depends on how you want to interpret that. You know, like just always have a
this
boot
guy walks
flask.
Around with a boot flask.
I don't know.
He's got some issues.
Well, okay, I thought it was funny. We're gonna do obviously a lot of Titans today here, and we welcome your participation on the 102.5 The Game phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com 615-737-1025 phone or text. But I do want to start, PK, on college sports because it's a pretty big day yesterday. I know some people are probably going to glaze over like, is it? Because, you know, court cases and there's another one. But, I mean, the NCAA this week has officially said, we will now pay college athletes. The schools will pay college athletes. And that is a pretty big step. I mean, you think about – I mean, seriously, think about where we are – and imagine this 3 years ago. Like it's to me, everything that's happened, unimaginable. You know, NIL and all that stuff, yes, the drum was beating on that for a long time. But, you know, it's gotten to the point where they're just getting annihilated on every front because basically their business has been, you know, really it has been a violation of a lot of our laws, you know. And it's finally kind of, you know, come to the come to fruition in the courts. So you've got this settlement now of a case that would have been about a $20 billion back pay situation for college athletes. The settlement's, I believe, $2.7 billion. But the bigger point is, you know, now schools can pay up to $20 million a year and share that revenue with college athletes. Now, that's all college athletes. So, you know, this isn't like just for the football team, just for the basketball team. This is going to be very interesting. There's going to be there's all kinds of stuff I couldn't possibly answer right now. Like, how does this relate to Title IX, for example? But it's still a big moment. I hope we talked about this some yesterday. I hope we're moving toward more sanity, because right now it's a bad phase right now with NIL and the portal combined and what they've done. But there's still going to be NIL. There's still going to be collectives. There's still going to be boosters who are like, we have to have that recruit, so we're going to pay that recruit extra to come to our school, right, on top of this. But this is a huge change, and I think we could put amateurism away a long time ago, but I mean, like, it's officially done now.
I just don't buy that it's going to turn, like, everybody hears the 2.7 billion and thinks, ooh, they're going to get it. And yeah, that's a big number for the NCAA and for the schools contributing, but it's just not going to wind up being something that really helps people in their pockets in a big way, right? I'm trying to do some math here.
It's more about symbolic. Right. It's more about, I mean, now that money to be paid out, that's a lot, obviously, and there's been a lot of fighting over who pays what.
I mean, you know? I'm just doing quick math. Estimates. 200 athletes per school, 150 schools, 10 years. That's 300,000. So 2.7 billion divided by 300,000, in my calculation, $9,000.
Yeah, is it?
So everybody could get $9,000. That's not life changing money for anybody.
Is that the right number, though? Are you sure about that number?
That's just me playing. I made up the 200 athletes and the 150 schools.
Right.
But those are in the ballpark, right?
Yeah, I mean I'm not clear.
Those are probably low.
Yeah, I'm not clear on who's even exactly getting this money, honestly. Like, how many people are getting this money? Dating back to 2016. So it's D1 athletes back to 2016, paid out over 10 years. Yeah, you know, I mean, they'll get a little change. I mean, but the point
is, so if it's $9,000 paid out over 10 years, you're talking about $900 a year for some people.
Yeah.
Nah, you know, just sketchy math.
Right. I mean, this is, and that's the thing. I mean, I think that this is, I mean, I don't know in terms of the actual plaintiffs here, but obviously in a lot of these cases, it's like, this is how we're going to blow your system up, right? And obviously this is, for lawyers, this is great. I mean, lawyers love the NCAA. But yeah, so I mean, that on that side of it, it's insignificant for sure. Really, it's about what it again means. See, the big thing here is the NCAA is trying to get to the point where they can't be sued anymore because they're just getting sued everywhere and they're losing all of them. Until they get antitrust exemption, which they still don't have, this doesn't stop them from being sued more. Right. So it's, you know, they're trying to consolidate, and there is some consolidation here to try to put it away. And so in some, you know, they've put some of these things away, but again, they're still open to being sued. So I this isn't like, oh, now everything's fine, move forward. That's what they're trying to get to. And of course they've asked for a lot of government intervention to try to help them. I mean, again, the thing is,
does this do anything to NIL?
No, that's the thing again. So this will be, schools now will have, they have this, they don't have to pay, but they can pay up to $20 million a year to their college athletes, right? But again, NIL, I mean, you're still, again, before what happened? Alabama and Auburn both got to have this kid. Well, by golly, get Billy Bob on the phone, and I need that money. I need that cat. We got to step up, guys. It's not different. It's not different now. It's just the collective calls you and say, hey, you know, we're competing like this kid right here. He's looking for $2 million a year.
Now you can spread out to $20 million plus the collective.
But see, that's what's interesting is how does the $20 million fall into Title IX, right? Like, I've seen some people say, well, we should be able to pay more to, like, the better, which I agree with, but there is still Title IX to consider here. So I think the collectives will still be, especially for the, like, the top Power 5 programs, still be very important, you know? This will take some of the heat. Like, this will take, obviously, like, some of that money now is just, like, the school pays it. So, you know, like, right now the collectives are doing everything. They're making sure the whole baseball team's on scholarship. And, okay, well, you've got, you know, whatever. Like, Caitlin Clark, I know at Iowa she had a different deal. Whatever it is, you have different athletes, different sports who are stars, and you're paying, you know, Vanderbilt. There's a lot that's gone to men's basketball. Recently, like I said, baseball. So now I think this will take care of a lot of that other stuff, but you're still, when you are in a pursuit of a big time recruit, the collective still has to get in there and come on, boosters, let's go. I mean,
do most of it, cause that's the way to evade Title IX.
That's right. And that's why, that's the thing is, that's why I was always like, just, this should be the market separate from the schools, because once you do the schools, now it's labor. Right now it's management, which I think we're going to get to also. Is there going to be collective bargaining with this? That is one way to maybe stop lawsuits from coming. But like, but then with Title IX, you know, how does that fit into this? And that can be up for interpretation.
And here's the other thing. I know it's not apples to apples, but in the distribution of this money to the people from the last 10 years, which seems like an arbitrary number, by the way, and I know there are a lot of athletes from 11 years ago or 16 years ago out there on Twitter saying, hey, what about what about me?
Sure.
I don't know. It feels like class action suit kind of thing to me. And I'm sure you've been part of that, like where you get the email and you check off some boxes and everything, and ultimately you get a check for pennies. Or remember the big Ticketmaster one where, and we'll talk more about the new Ticketmaster stuff later. But, like, Ticketmaster really lost. And what you got were codes that maybe got you certain seats to certain shows if you were the first ones to use the codes for those certain seats to those certain shows, which was no win whatsoever. So I got 15 of those codes. Well, if I used those 15 codes for those 15 shows where I was, you know, the first 150 people in line, I got back what was coming to me.
Right.
But it was set up that I didn't get back what was coming to me because I didn't want to go to those shows, or I wasn't first in line and I wanted a better seat or whatever. So they set it up to be an obstacle course, and people didn't get back their money from Ticketmaster. It was set up against them. And who's to say this won't be set up against people? Yeah. If you run this obstacle course, you can get $900 a year for 10 years.
Right.
But how many people are going to run the obstacle course?
Yeah. Most class action suits aren't like Aaron Brockovich. There's no doubt about that. Real quick, Zach in Nashville says, keep the ceremony short, Nick. No one's there for that. They're there to celebrate you both at the reception where there is booze.
That ceremony's already set. I hate to break it to you, Zach, but that was advice for
how long is the ceremony going to be?
Under 30 minutes, I think.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
All right, we come back.
I would tell you the other. I would tell you the opposite. I don't know how churchy you are, but, you know, if it's a church thing, it's a sacrament, and your requests for length be damned.
There's something very ironic about you saying.
I'm fine clipping that. Your request for length be damned.
Nice,
as short or
there,
as long as it is.
Yes, we did the hour long Catholic mass wedding, so I know what that's about. My desire for a shorter ceremony be darned, Paul. Be darned. All right, we come back. I think we'll get into the Titans here. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Show, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. I'm Joe Rex Show. On mic one for Robbie. He's home with his daughter, left alone, left to
his daddy, own devices.
Yep, Heather's gone out of town, so Robbie's gotten. Now, yesterday,
they're all
Allison slept in. She slept in, like, you know, real late, like to like 7 something. So, of course, I was like, well, you know, today she's up at 4. So, hopefully, they're listening right now. We got Paul Kuharsky.
Just say it, Norm. Just say Kuharsky, but don't like emphasize it every time.
Okay.
You say it.
Well, I say Paul Kuharsky.
Kuharsky. Just change it from Kuharsky to Kuharsky.
Okay. So,
but don't say Kuharsky. Just say it.
Like I didn't say. I said Kuharsky.
Yeah. Don't emphasize.
Don't do that. Okay. Paul
Kuharsky.
Kuharsky. Okay. We'll work on that. Someone thought you were coming right from jail, seeing you on the stream. You got a, what did you got? A little Springsteen. Yeah.
I got to go out. Listen, I don't like all these people that stop traffic for construction, and when they're doing it incorrect, I'll just jump out and
pretend
and fix
to be
it.
A cone.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'll be the guy. I'm one of my big theories is that if you give a person a sash and a flashlight, is one of the most dangerous things that can happen. This faux power gives them just way too much. All of a sudden, they think right. that they're a sheriff. And so this empowers me to go out and correct them. Can I tell you about the
or
song?
Or it could be your tribute to Scottie Scheffler. That's what I thought maybe it could be, too.
Can I tell you about the song I was listening to, if the groom is ready in there?
Yes.
I thought this was ironic. I was listening to the sports talk that's on before us on my way in. Wasn't doing it for me, and I needed, you know, ear caffeine, if you will. And I thought I'd put on some pump-up music. You did the same. We pulled into the lot at the same time. You're one of those guys that fakes like he likes, like, thrash metal, which is can't like because it's horrific.
Oh, it's so good. But, I was listening to Anthrax.
Yeah.
Anthrax, Caught in a Mosh. Anybody out there, give me a shout-out. You think I fake listen to that?
Yeah, I have friends
you think
who
I fake listen
like
to that.
They like terrible things, like really bad IPAs that are bitter and nasty. You can't like that. But people like drink it, and they're like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. I'm working really hard not to make a sour face drinking this, but I'm so cool. I like these India IPAs.
Rocks Road.
So whatever milquetoast, boring so like crap that you like is what anyway, everyone must like?
Yeah, well, it's better than what you're listening to. At any rate, this is one of my pump-up songs, but it fits in with this clip that you guys have been playing. I realize, you know, going in, I'm going to share that this is a song that I like to crank up. And there's actually audio at my old place of me singing this song. But Nick has a clip of this.
I got to hear this.
Which I've set up.
Oh, yeah!
Just let the lyrics build. I don't think he played it from where I told him. But we got to get to the chorus. Get to the chorus and don't bore us. But go ahead. Everyone rock on a little bit. We could talk over it.
Yeah, is this – at some point are we in violation of something, playing too much of a song?
Here we go. It's getting to what I love. It's a song about what this guy loved, Buck Cherry. Here we go.
Buck Cherry.
Crank it here.
Okay.
All right, so it ties in with that.
Right, there
that
we
clip.
Go.
So what's the clip that you constantly play? I don't know if you're good enough to have constant access to me. But
he's got that ready.
Yeah.
I smoke weed constantly.
So
is.
Two things that I don't love or do. I now I smoke weed constantly, and I love the cocaine.
That's.
You ain't going to get the smoke.
This has been a good first half hour for the kids, let me tell you something. So that's Buck Cherry, huh?
Lit up by Buck Cherry.
Yeah, that's not nearly as good as Anthrax Caught in a Mosh, which I was listening to. And no, Anthrax, that album from 87 is fantastic. I don't like a lot of Anthrax, but
he pulls into the parking lot, he opens the door, Nick, and he goes, New Jersey rock and roll! And he's got Anthrax playing. Now, I'm from New Jersey. I know New Jersey rock and roll. And he's blasting Anthrax like Springsteen and Bon Jovi aren't New Jersey rock and roll.
Go back to your YouTube, Joe Rex Road.
Hey, I love Springsteen and Bon Jovi, you know, they had their moment. I loved them early as a middle schooler. But, yeah, Anthrax, great album, 1987. Real quick, too, Zach in Nashville has broad advice. He says, for everyone listening that will get married in the future, just do bouquets and flowers for the moms. Flowers are a scam, way too expensive. Save yourself thousands by skipping the flowers. So there you go. There's Zach's advice. He also said, I'd rather consume Anthrax and die than listen to Buck Cherry. Thank you.
I don't like any Thank other you, Buck Cherry, but that song gets into my veins.
Is that
and,
the
and
is,
gets
is
me
that
going.
The name of the song? I love lit the up. Cocaine.
Lit up.
Lit up. Okay. All right.
He's lit up on the cocaine. I love the cocaine. I love the cocaine.
Well, Joe, for what it's worth, there you go. This
he,
was
he just gave you another one. There
this was a great song that the Preds played during warmups this year. I don't know if you ever caught that.
The Buck Cherry song?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're on the cocaine.
I did not
there
catch
you go.
That. Yeah.
They're on the cocaine.
I don't even know where to go from here with this segment. Let's wrap it up on college sports, okay? So I like you as the sort of everyman. You're not passionate about a particular program necessarily. You're skeptical of the
I graduated industry. From college and did what people do when they graduate from college, move on.
Sure, but I mean if you're Columbia Blue Bears or whatever the hell they're called to have a good baseball team, you're fine.
Older
right?
than the nation itself. Yeah. Lions.
Lions. Oh yeah, that's right. The Columbia Lions. I remember when they had like a 58 game losing streak or whatever, right? Didn't they have like some
I was
insane
there.
That,
my freshman
that's when you
year
were there?
We broke the streak, 44 games.
That's 44. That's amazing. Okay. So 10 years from now, let's get to Paul Kuharsky.
Emphasis.
What's wrong with that?
You're emphasizing.
Well, I'm calling you Paul Kuharsky then, my God. That's how it is. Let's get the Paul Kuharsky prediction of college athletics 10 years from now, 2034. It's seriousness, not give me some fake, you know, whatever. How do you think this is going to affect things? Where do you think it'll be? College football, let's just stick
well,
with
I'm
that.
Well, I'm going to throw some sense into it, all right? So I hope it will be, and I think it could be, after 6 or 7 years of disaster where kids in Olympic sports and non-football sports, even basketball, start not playing. Maybe basketball they play, but these other sports, well, there's two roads. Either they start to dissolve, because kids don't want to endure what they have to endure in college in order to play them. Or universities see that they're hurting so badly because UCLA has to go to Rutgers for a 3-game baseball series or for a golf weekend or for a volleyball match, and they realize the foolishness of it. Wise heads, which I know is a contradiction because they don't exist in college sports. But the kids somehow get some power collectively and say, this is ridiculous that we're traveling like this. And the NCAA or whatever the power is realizes the importance of regionalization outside of football and goes back
well,
to regionalization for every other sport.
That should happen today.
But
It should happen today,
but it won't.
No, and
so after a cycle of brutality for these college athletes, whose college experience absolutely suffers in order for them to get to compete at what they want to compete to, yep. We get back to regional sports for everything but football and basketball.
Yeah, well, it should be, yeah. I mean, it really should be. Football should be just separated. If they want to do these stupid conferences, fine. But, yeah, it's inane, like that you actually have a Big Ten with a Rutgers and a Oregon. In it, meet in Omaha. Yeah, now there's a lot of.
Yeah, I said UCLA. I should have said Oregon.
Same thing. Whatever. I mean, it all works. That's true too. They're also in the Big Ten now. It's inane, but yeah, that is something that needs to happen. You know, I think. I think the playoff. I think football will be fine. I think from a fan perspective, again, people love their Vols. People love their Buckeyes, and that's not changing. But A lot of things are, and my biggest concern is for the opportunities for kids in other sports because I really think that might be in trouble here long term.
Me too. They don't care enough for it. We need universities to care about the student experience for that. That's a big part of the student experience. You had friends at Michigan State who played other stuff, who shaped their college experience around playing other stuff. That was usually important to their...
Well, an opportunity for education with a lot of them. Like, that's the thing.
Right.
Even if it's a partial scholarship, that makes a big difference, as anybody who knows anything about higher education costs.
And their best friends in life are their teammates from those sports.
Sure. All right, we come back. We're going to get in the Titans. We're going to talk about actually a piece at Paul Kuharsky NFL.com about five most important Titans. Is that right? Most important.
Mike Herndon wrote this on Wednesday. You didn't bother to look at the byline, but
we'll get into
it. We're going to look at who he picked and if we agree or disagree and why.
That'll be next. Robbie and Rexer, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Tune in to 102.5 The Game Sunday for coverage of the Coca-Cola 600 at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Coverage begins at 4 p.m., the race starting at 5. Coverage also available on 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexer. Paul Kuharski in for Robbie. A couple of things we didn't mention. Connor McDavid, man, he got robbed in overtime, but he came back to get the game winner for Edmonton. So they're up 1-0 on the Stars. I think the Celtics are going to sweep the Pacers, unfortunately. And Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt baseball in the semifinals of the SEC tournament. How about that? How about that, Tim Corbin? There's a pretty good college sports program for you. All right.
I got a kid in my house who dreams of playing for Tim Corbin.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yes.
I could see that. I'd say probably a lot of baseball players around here would be excited about that.
He also saw, I don't know where, when I say I don't know where, you probably do this too, like with your kids. Like heard, saw, talks about, I don't know where. The I don't know where is YouTube.
Sure, TikTok.
TikTok, whatever. He's not on TikTok, but he sees TikTok stuff. Something about UConn's facilities.
So he talks, UConn's baseball.
Yeah, so he talks about UConn baseball.
Interesting.
And I tell him, I
haven't heard a lot about
UConn
baseball.
Northeastern baseball is not like, hey, aspire to all of these places. But Northeastern baseball plays a little less baseball than Southeastern or Southwestern baseball. Not that I want him in the Southeast. I dream of him not going to college in the Southeast.
Do you?
Yeah, I want him out of the SEC.
Yeah. What do you have against the SEC?
Well, the SEC world thinks it's the center of the world, and I want him to know it's absolutely not the center of the world.
Well, he'll be
as somebody who went to college in the center of the world. I'd like him to understand where the center of the world is.
That's true. I mean, yeah. I mean, your school is where the Office of Paranormal Psychology, right?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean,
very important experiments.
I have friends whose kids go to Auburn, and I mean, they think like Auburn is it. Like,
well, that's a good school.
Auburn is it. I just want them to have a big worldview.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's fine. Okay. Speaking of worldview, well, speaking of stuff on the internet, no, we have not talked about the whatever the heck happened with the leak of what Levis's stuff got hacked or something.
I don't care to talk about it. I don't care to spread that. Apparently it's gone.
Yeah,
but, like, if somebody leaked my personal stuff, I wouldn't want anybody talking about it. I think we owe Will Levis the same respect.
Yeah, if anybody leaked your stuff, I wouldn't want anybody talking about it either, nor watching it.
Yeah, well, same for you. Imagine there are pictures out there of your gouty feet.
Good God, please don't.
Or just bare butts.
Wow.
Nick, please. We'll call on you.
Soon-to-be married guy coming in hot.
We'll call on you.
Yeah. So anyway, no, I mean, I don't know anything about it. Our buddy Andrew texted us about it. I'm like, okay.
Right,
yeah, he's like, are you stalking him on the internet?
He's
like,
probably doing three. Yeah, it's the same person that leaked the Paige Beckers thing. And I'm like,
I didn't know about that either.
Paige Beckers had stuff leaked.
I don't know about that either. But yeah, so hope.
He's got alerts.
Hope that's all right. Yeah. Is that what it is?
I presume.
Yeah, I wasn't planning on talking about it at all, but it was brought up in the text.
That's the extent
line.
Of our conversation.
Okay, so Titans, five most important? Most important, Mike Herndon. I when Mike Herndon wants to weigh in on something, I pay attention. So
the five most important Titans heading into the season is how he titled it, and you can read it from Wednesday at paulkuharski.com. I think what he says about them is more important than who they are, so I'm perfectly happy to share who they are and for us to discuss who they are.
Do you agree with who they are?
Well, let's discuss. He has Will Levis as number one, which is a no-brainer. He has J.C. Latham as number two. He has Jeffrey Simmons as number three. He has Harold Landry as number four, and he has Calvin Ridley as number five. I think it's a solid list. But I've got one guy on the outside, not on the list, who I think has to be on the list. And so I've got to get one out and I've got to get one in. Can you guess who my guy that must be on the list is?
Um, It's see, the thing is, my guy who I would add would probably not be the same as yours, because it's, and maybe I'm putting too much on a rookie, but I really think Devondre Sweat is important. That's probably not your answer.
No, that's not my answer, but I think that's a reasonable answer.
I would guess L'Jarius Sneed.
L'Jarius Sneed is my guy. And I'm going to take out Harold Landry, and here's why. I think with Levis, with Latham, with Simmons, with Ridley, his other four, there are questions about all of them. Levis, obviously a huge question mark. What is he? Latham, making a rookie, you automatically have questions. Going to the left side is a big transition. I'm more confident about it than a lot of people are, but, you know, that's a storyline. Simmons has had 2 years of less than stellar production. I want to get into more detail with TD about that later. And 2 years where health has been an issue. Ridley is coming into a situation where he's being asked to do more, and he's going to play all over the field. And he's adding an element, ideally, to this team that it hasn't had hardly ever. Even with A.J. Brown, who is faster than anybody thought, but Calvin Ridley is faster than A.J. Brown. And this team has needed a speed, deep threat to change defenses forever. Harold Landry, the reason he's on this list in part is because of what's not on the roster in terms of another edge rusher.
For sure.
But you know what you're getting from Harold Landry, right? Last year, you didn't get it for the first third of the season, probably because he was coming back from that ACL, and so he was a question mark. But I think Harold Landry's giving you somewhere between 8.5 and 12.5 sacks, unless the double teaming, which is out of his hands, slows him down, and then it's the fault of the roster construction, which I give a little bit of a pass to, because there's so much to construct, right? So Harold Landry, to me, very important guy on this team, unquestionably, but doesn't fit the list in terms of there not being a question. Sneed comes with a little bit of a question because of the knees and the knee with the rehab, and also because of the newness and the difference. Can Sneed headline a big-time change of this secondary? We're all presuming he can. But I think we should put a little bit more of a question mark on it, especially because of the pass rush question. Can these guys cover a little bit longer? Can they cover singularly without help? He and Awuzie and McCreary, and give this team the best three-man cornerback crew it's probably ever had, and create this physical, edgy coverage, tight. This team, we've watched cornerbacks play off, forever, ever, ever, and it's been a huge cause of frustration. So the same way we're talking about Ridley transforming the receivers and giving them this speed element that they haven't had, I'm asking about Sneed transforming, leading a transformation of the defensive backs where they're in your face instead of you can't see their eyes. And I think that's why I would include him on the list, because he's an agent of change for a unit where Landry's a known quantity.
So I would assume not having, and again, I mean, if you're picking five, I mean, you know, we could all probably go to 12 easily, right? Like, yeah, in terms of importance.
And but I think Sweat fits the similar bill.
Yeah, well, right. The reason I think he's, well, I'll get to why I would put him there, which would mean two rookies, but those top two rookies are really important.
When we come back. But go with Sweat. Respond to Sweat, too.
Yeah. Rodney Rexroy, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on the Charlotte Knights at First Horizon Park. Pregame at 6:20, first pitch 6:35, with coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds Baseball, 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Listen to that. Listen to that beautiful anthrax.
Sounds like every song of
that
genre. Every song of that genre has that driving.
But you have to listen to the riff. You're ruining it. Stop it. Check. Oh, my God. All right, turn it off.
Rex Road.
Oh, God.
We just found out that Rex Road is bored with excellence. I asked him how he felt about
it. Yeah, that's the baseline. There's also a riff. There's a riff that is.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I asked him how he felt about it. He said boring.
Well, I respect Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He's a great player. I'm just saying, you know, you watched him as I did when he actually played. And, I mean, like, the sky hook is hard to beat, and it's also kind of boring. I'm sorry. Like, I much more enjoyed watching Magic Johnson advance the ball to James Worthy or A.C. Green or Byron Scott than I did.
I mean, how Magic biased are you going to be? I mean, he's a Michigan State guy. Of course you're going to love Magic.
Well, I mean, that's not why I love him.
That's like me loving Lou Gehrig. I mean, it's as predictable as it comes.
Well, I love Magic, but I mean, I love Steph Curry too because of what he did. I mean, I have no like affiliation
so
there.
You're it's a just guard guy.
Yeah, I guess so. Great playmaker. I mean, Steph Curry's the best shooter.
On the record that
Magic is the best point.
Kareem.
Magic's the best point guard ever. I mean, I don't think that's a controversial statement, and I think he's the best passer ever. So I love the inventive, creative way he played the game. Yeah. Okay.
And I didn't want to talk Kareem Magic. I wanted to talk Kareem.
Yeah, Kareem was a great player. And when they had to play in the half court, they'd dump it down to Kareem, and he'd do two dribbles one way, and he'd throw up his little sky hook, and he hit it a lot of the time, and great. But, I mean, it's kind of boring. Now, Kareem in Airplane was strong. That's one of the best athletes.
You tell your dad. That's good.
What's that?
You tell your dad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, dragging Lanier up and down. I mean, that's one of the best athlete cameos in a movie ever, right?
Very good.
Yeah. All right. So Tavondre Sweat, my point
well,
on
first
him.
First on, okay. Respond to Snead. So I added Snead and took out Landry from Mike Herndon's five most important Titans.
And I'm fine. Right now. I mean, I think you can argue both. They're both hugely important. I mean, I agree. Like Landry, there's a certain amount of like we know what he is. But to me, it's got to be the whole year like it was the second half. Like there is a lot on him, right? I mean, there's a lot on him, which is kind of where it's all – I mean, everything we're talking about with the defense, it all connects together, obviously, right? Like to me, if Tavondre Sweat – and this is why I would put him very high on the list – if he is what they hope he is, and it has to be right away, in shape, ready to go, ready to play a lot of snaps, able to do more – you know, than just be out there and take up space on early downs. If he can be that guy, okay, that makes Simmons better. That makes the interior pressure, I think, much more of a factor, and that makes Harold Landry's job a lot easier. Even if Landry doesn't get someone else on the other side who's a consistent presence. I mean, I think next offseason, you may disagree with me, but next offseason, I think an edge is probably – like a drafted high edge is probably that'd be my guess right now.
Probably priority one.
Without no, so, but if Sweat is that, okay, now then you sort of have the domino effect to Landry. As far as Snead, look, Snead has to be great, available and great, and all that. This defense is built for everything you just said about sticky coverage. Press coverage, the ability to play man more when needed. If they don't have that, then I think some of what they're missing, especially at edge, is really going to be exposed. I mean, it all plays together. I mean, there's not a wrong answer to me among those.
Yeah, and again, I know people are really excited about what they've done, and the roster is in much better shape than we probably could have imagined, given where it was. But there were bound to be places where it was still weaker than you want. And we didn't know where those places were going to be. We know where they are now, where they could still do something. But it's edge. It's safety. It might be on the right side of the offensive line, though I'm hopeful there. Maybe tight end. Don't know.
Yeah. I think that – and – You know, special teams overall is also still, by the way, a big question. There's still a lot.
Well, you don't know what special teams really requires.
That's true.
In terms of the kickoff.
But not to have massive mistakes, right? I mean, start there.
And I think we've started there with the coaching change.
Right. Well, yeah, but that's the thing. We're about to find out a lot about that, too, in general. But, yeah, I think, defensively – those are the obvious spots. We've talked about the possibility that they're going to add a safety. Yeah, the right side, and, we're about to have Stilley, so we can have a healthy debate there. You're hopeful. And so when you say you're hopeful, you're saying you're hopeful with Petit Frere. Like, you're confident that he's going to be the choice? Because Stilley and I had a debate. He thinks that Dylan Radins will actually end up starting more at right tackle. I'm not even sure if he'll be there. Like, he's an interesting piece. Yeah.
I like Dylan Radins. I mean, you have to separate yourself from the fact that he was a second-round pick.
Right.
I like him as like a fifth-round find now. But, I mean, still he just we'll get to it. How he's such an offensive line expert is beyond me. Back to Snead for a second. I just tweeted this because I found this out last night, and since we're talking about him. Teron reported that Snead was in the building rehabbing during the Titans OTA on Tuesday. I learned last night he has spent time in both Nashville and Dallas this offseason, and that he absolutely plans to participate in minicamp.
Okay. Okay, in minicamp, but not necessarily OTAs.
Yeah, I mean, he's been in both Nashville and Dallas. He was here during that OTA, so I would presume – he'll be in Nashville for OTAs, whether he's on the field for them or not, I don't know.
So he's in the build. So he's in the building rehabbing, and that then I would presume that's knee related.
I would presume that's knee related too, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah,
I think 95% were safe presuming that.
Yeah, well, and that's going to be. Look, I will say, anytime he's not on the field, and I understand that like he missed a lot of camp last year, and it didn't matter at all. He was great, right? So if that's what it is, and he's just going to be a guy who misses a lot of practice and whatever, if it just leads to the same thing on Sundays, who cares? But whenever he's missing time, to me, there is at least some level of concern, right?
Yes, but keep in mind that Rand Carthon told me at the owners' meetings that they took him on knowing that. He said sure. If he's available Thursday, Sunday, Monday – by the way, Thursday doesn't matter anymore, and only one Monday matters with the schedule out. So I can edit that quote.
That is true.
If he's available Sunday and that one Monday, they're fine. So they took him on much the way they took on Julio Jones. Not that that's a great example because that didn't work. But knowing that practice availability wasn't going to be his number one trait.
But see, okay, but when you say Julio Jones, obviously, like the hamstring was a much bigger recurring thing for him than.
But they knew that Julio Jones wasn't a daily practice guy.
But that was his preference more, wasn't it? Wasn't that more just because he didn't like to do it?
Well, I think he didn't like to do it because to tune his body, he couldn't do it. That's my impression. Coming in, he had reached a stage of his career where daily practice didn't do much to get him ready for Sunday.
Yeah. Okay.
Didn't you think?
With this, I guess. But I guess with this.
He wants to be out there, surely.
Yeah. This seems more like there's a whatever. There's a clock
hindrance.
On the knee.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Which is a little different.
Which
but.
They're willing to accept.
So we can talk about that and the Raiden's Petit Frere debate. And I don't know.
You have some good stuff for Stilley. I went through his last 4 days of Twitter, much of which. Previews, or discusses what he's talking about on the air. And, I just have questions.
Okay, you've got questions. All right, we will get to those next. Robbie and Rexrow, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.